accompaniment for that. That's what you need. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It is October 16th, 2013, Wednesday. You need parental accompaniment, right? Our kids are not allowed to go to a gun-free zone without parents accompanying them. If there is a gun-free zone anywhere near where you live, and your kids are going to go there, don't let them go there unless you accompany them. Because you can be guaranteed, if it's a drug-free zone, do not allow your children to go into a drug-free zone without parental accompaniment. It's simply too dangerous. We have today, well, the news that you'll hear here first, undoubtedly. Well, you might have heard it somewhere else. The Redskins are changing their name. Yep. Redskins have dropped the word Washington from their name because it's embarrassing. So from here on out, the Washington Redskins, the NFL, will be called the Redskins. So that's politically incorrect. That's pretty good for them. Yeah, people always, they name their team after something they want to insult, right? That's what they do. Bob Costas, he's a liberal now. Is he three strikes and you're out? I think he's out now. Since the Olympics, he's been on a downhill slide. But we have so many listeners have been talking to us about the public school crisis, news stories that are out. All you have to do, remember years ago, we had an alert, a Google alert for crime in public schools, and your inbox gets so filled up, you can't deal with it. And so this is just the latest. This is reason number 400. What do we got now? We got to get them right. 489. This is reason number 490. This is that one is so tragically sad. 491, 492, 493. These are the reasons to take your kids out of public school. Should be to keep your kids out of public school. 494, 495, 496. So here, well, I might as well share some of them with you. I realize I don't need to. Just hearing the numbers should be sufficient, right? If somebody says, well, why are you saying I should take my kids out of public school? You say, because of reasons number 271, 279, and 284. That's it. That should be sufficient. Like the old guys who meet at the donut shop, they've been meeting for years. They're all retired, and they tell the same jokes to each other over and over, and so they just numbered them all. So there's a new guy joined. He's a young guy. He's like 68. He joined the group, just started to happen to, you know, showing up in the mornings and getting his coffee and donuts, and he'd hear them say 17, and they'd all start laughing, you know. 21, and they're cracking up because they tell the same joke so often, they just numbered them so they don't have to tell the joke. They say 22, and they all laugh. So he learns the numbers, and he says, so one morning he gets the courage, and he says 18, and nobody laughs. So he asks one of the guys, why is it when I call out a number, nobody laughs? And he said, well, some people just can't tell a joke. Some people can't. So these are no jokes. These are the reasons to take your kids out of government school, and you shouldn't even need to know what they are anymore. Just 49, you should call your wife and say, honey, we have to take our kids out of school. We have to start homeschooling them or send them to Christian school. And she'll say, well, what brought this on? And just say 489, 490, and 491. That's it. That's sufficient. So as documented on Bob and Yurt Live, since May of 1991, when we first went on the air on this station, AM 670 KLTT, this is out of Texas, Plano, Texas. There's a special needs student in a high school. Now, that right there sounds somewhat horrifying. Could you imagine having a special needs student and sending them to a government school? That's horrifying. You know, when they're in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, it's all so cute. I mean, it's just so cute. The kids are so cute. And the teachers, at least the ones who haven't molested the kids at that age, the teachers, they love the kids too. So it's all so cute. It's all so seductive and enticing. And it convinces parents that, hey, this is a good thing to send my kids off. Plus, I don't have to pay for it. Right. That's if you don't count your child's soul. You don't have to pay for it if you're only thinking about dollars. And actually, you pay through the nose. Right? People think it's free. That's because people don't think. So anyway, they say, well, we don't have to pay for it. And then mom could go out and work. And dad, he wasn't sure if he wanted a wife and a mom, half of a mortgage payment. So he thought, hey, I could marry half of a mortgage payment. So you see, our modern culture is so twisted, and kids suffer, and then the parents suffer, and then God grieves. But you've got a special needs kid going to a government school. That's so horrific right there, but that's not the story. It should be. That should be enough. That should be reason number 49, a special needs child was sent to a government school. That should be the scandal right there. But no, that's not it. This 18-year-old girl, Shia Shawhan, is a special needs gal. They say she was born with a brain injury that has left her with the mental capacity of an 8-year-old. And so she has a cell phone, and she gets text messages from other students at the school, but they disguise their numbers. You could do that easily, right? You could do it easily, especially if you're criminal-minded or if you're a coward. You know, you go online and you send text messages anonymously. That's obviously a juvenile could do it, right? And so she gets these text messages that here are some examples for why are you still here? Clearly no one wants you. You only have special needs friends and you're ugly. And then they talk about her clothing, that she dresses badly. Honestly, your clothes are terrible. People at the school don't want you. That's the reason you have seizures, because that's karma. And the mother, Carrie, her name is Carrie, and the mom has a different last name than her daughter. And that's normal, right? We live in a culture where kids don't know who their parents are, a lot of kids. But the mother, Carrie, says when the students, when they referenced her seizures, one text message said, I hope you have a seizure and die. And the mother said, I want to find a parent and say, do you know what your child is doing? Yeah, that'd be good. It's not going to make the daughter, it's not going to take away the injury, but that would be good, obviously, to tell the parents. But Carrie needs to rescue her daughter from the cruelty of what is the government schools, because they're systematically cruel. It's the system. The boys sexually harass the girls, and if you complain about it, they think you're an idiot. If it was in a Fortune 500 firm, it'd be a federal lawsuit. But since it's your 14-year-old daughter taking the brunt of sexual humor about her body and her behavior and all from 16 and 17-year-old boys, hey, she's got to put up with it. That's part of the cost of sending your kids to government school. And you think she's going to come home every day and tell you the latest disgusting, vulgar thing that the boys are asking her to do, or that the girls are asking her to do, or that they're doing in front of her, or eventually wearing her down so that she's doing it with them at school, no less. Although I'm getting ahead of myself, that's reason number 490. So we got to stick with 489 for another moment. Reason number 489 to keep your kids out of government schools. So the mom, Carrie, said it's undoubtedly it's a group of teenagers that are behind this. And she says of her daughter, Shia, she says she is so sweet and I'm so frustrated. I can't find out who it is. And the text, they're coming from an app that you just use the app and it enables you to send text messages anonymously. And so this 18-year-old student who is like an 8-year-old girl has been receiving several of these rotten text messages a day for the past couple weeks. And the mother asks a question, which I try hard. When somebody does something evil, I try hard not to say, why did you do that? Right? Even if it's not evil, if it's just wrong, even if it's just children misbehaving, I try not to say, why did you do that? I mean, where's that question going to get you? Don't you know why they did that? If your kid disobeys and they don't go to bed on time, don't you know why did you do that? What kind of, it's just not, it's a waste of breath. Say, why did you do that? So, but the mother says, of these students, how could they be so evil and cold? You know, why are they doing this? And the answer is because they hate God and they're expressing their rebellion in an opportune way. Shia is a target of opportunity. If they didn't have her to be cruel toward, they would express their sin in some other way. And that's one of the problems with institutionalizing children and juveniles, which is what government school basically is. It's sort of like prison, sort of like juvie. It's just another government-run institution for hordes of human beings. And you have the flesh, which is, we don't know, as Christians and even theologians, and scientists, psychologists, we don't know what the flesh is. It's like gravity. We know what it does, and we could guess what it might be, but we don't really know. And so the flesh, we think it's the meat on our bones? No, that tendency that drives us towards sin. That's what it is, our tendency to sin. Well, what is it exactly? Well, we could tell you what it does, but it's hard to know what it is. And that's true of so many things in life. Because to get deep down to fundamental truth and understanding requires God's insight. So, and he's given us a Bible which points us in the direction of understanding. And the more we study it, the more we understand. But so you have an institution with 100 kids. You know, heaven forbid there's more than 100 in the school, then it's a cesspool. But you have hundreds of kids together, and each one of them has their flesh. And their flesh is this tendency to do wrong, to hurt others, to put temptations in front of others, to rebel, to misbehave, to be rude, to be crude, to be sexually vulgar. And they all give into their flesh to differing degrees, some worse than others. And so you'd think the public school administrators have the wisdom to overcome that. So the experience generally is a good thing for the kids. Boy, are you naive if you think they have the wisdom to do that. Christian schools, the vast majority, don't have the wisdom to do that. It's almost humanly impossible to do. So that's reason number 489 to keep your kids out of public school. Let's go to reason number 490. This is in Georgia. So that was in Texas. You know, the stories are not all from California and New York, in Washington, in Chicago. They're from all over the country. They're from your backyard. And don't worry, if kids are having sex in your school while your kid is there, the administrators will do everything they can to make sure you don't know about it. And your kid's probably not going to tell you either. So this is in Cherokee County, Georgia. This is students. They're in the cafeteria. And they received a dare. And so two students performed a sex act in the high school cafeteria with all kinds of people all around them and being videotaped on a cell phone and being put on the internet, all at the Etowah High School in Woodstock, Georgia. Now, the only reason anybody knows this is because it was put on the internet. Otherwise, you think your daughter's going to come home and say, Mommy, guess what they were doing at my lunch table? You think she's going to say that? You know, when their kids are younger and more innocent and more naive and they're in first grade and they tell you, like, I know I tell this story too often, but it's so apropos. The woman who called into this show years ago crying, second day of her kid going to public school, kindergarten, and said, my son can't, and the mother's crying. She said, my son came home and said, Mommy, the teacher kissed another teacher in class. And the mother said, well, that's okay. They're probably married. And her son said, no, he kissed another man. That was a male teacher displaying his homosexual behavior in front of the kids. And so she didn't believe him, and he came home the second day, the day she called in to the show, and she said, he said the same thing to me again today. Mommy, again, the teacher kissed another teacher. It was a man. And she was in tears and devastated. And I said, you are the luckiest mom in the country. Today, you are the luckiest mom. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, it only took you 2 days to find out that they want to destroy your child's heart and his mind and his soul. They want to destroy your child. And you need to take him out of the godless government schools. So anyway, our show went off the charts in ratings because millions of Christians want to hear that sending your child to a government school is irresponsible and even sinful. Everybody wants to hear that, right? The mega churches. Do the mega churches warn their congregations about the government schools? Do they? Has anyone here ever gone? I'm looking at the studio audience and our crew. Has anybody here ever gone to a large church with a lot of people? Have you ever heard the pastor say the public schools are godless? Don't send your kids. No, no, no. Yes or no? No, 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 and no, two no's over there. Nobody's ever heard it. The pastors, they've never read any of these stories. They don't know that the schools are godless. They don't know that the goal of the school is to teach kids that homosexuality is good and abortion is good, and they evolve from animals. They don't have to believe in the God of their fathers. Whether the pastors don't know that, or the pastors do know that if they warn the parents, many of them will leave and they won't be able to make their budget for their building fund goals and all. Does it come down to that? That's a big part of it. So if you go to a little church that hardly has any bills because it's so small, you might be more blessed than you realize, because the pastor is not beholden to the collection plate. The Apostle Paul, he would say, look, when I come, don't take a collection when I'm there. It's embarrassing to me. Take a collection when I'm not there. So at Denver Bible Church, we haven't taken a collection in years. It's not wrong to take a collection. It's perfectly fine. It's just we haven't done it because unbelievers say, well, church is all about money. And so everyone in our church for the past, I don't know how many years, they could say, well, not our church. We don't even take a collection. And the unbeliever says, you're a liar. You're a liar. So we don't even take a collection. I mean, maybe we'll have to someday. But we don't. We have a box in the back of the room. And half the time we forget to tell people there's a box in the back of the room. The other half of the time we forget to put the box out in the back of the room. So that was reason number 490 in Woodstock, Georgia. A student used a cell phone to record the incident. Two other students performing blah, blah, blah in school, in the cafeteria. I mean, for like 10 or 15 years, the news was there were kids having sex in school, but it'd be like in the hallway when everybody's in class, or on the stage of the auditorium when everyone else was out at gym or something, or in the locker room after, phys ed. And then the stories were the kids are having sex in the classroom when the teacher's out of the class. You remember those years? I remember those. These are different stages of history. It's the stage in history where the kids are having sex in the classroom when the teacher's out of the room. After that, it was kids having sex in the classroom with the teacher in the room. Now this is the first for me. This is the latest stage of human history, humanist history. Teenagers having sex in the cafeteria at school during lunch with everybody around. Well, they had to do it. It was a dare. And so some blithering idiot administrator will say, we need to introduce in our curriculum lessons on how to deal with dares. So if they dare you to take your pen and stab your friend's eyes out, give us three reasons why you shouldn't give in to that dare. It's also inane. Right at Denver Bible Church, we teach parents and the kids that they need to obey their parents. And obey means right action, right attitude, right away. Right action, right attitude, right away. So if your child is not, you say, okay, it's time to go to bed. Let's go to bed. And if they don't do it, then obviously there's a problem, right? You got to deal with it. And if they do it, but in their time, later, well, that's disobedience. If they do it, but they're miserable about it, that's disobedience. Obedience is right action, right attitude, right away. So reason number 491, we're back to Texas. Oh, this is such a terrible tragedy. A 17-year-old boy in the high school courtyard with other students around early yesterday afternoon at Lanier High School in Austin killed himself. He killed himself. And what a great tragedy. They say if it saves one life, it's worth it. Imagine if they would have closed down that school over the summer. Just close it down. to all the parents whose kids are going to that school. We are dysfunctional. We are closing down. You guys, your parents, you got to educate your kids. Take care of your kids. We're closing down. They might have saved one life, right? One life. If it saves one life, it's worth it. Close down the whole system nationwide. You know, we don't spend too much time here at Bob and Your Live talking about the news that all the other conservative eye roll radio shows talk about, because it's so obvious and it's so with the whole government, you know, the debt crisis, and we haven't voted to increase the debt ceiling, and so we're going to default and all, and it'll be a global crisis. And what was it, 3 weeks ago, I think I devoted two sentences to the topic, or three. And I said, we don't need to increase the debt ceiling. Just pay the debt. Just don't splurge on all these socialist programs. So don't fund all the godless socialist programs and just pay your bills. Pay the debt. And so for the past 10 days, the iRoll Radio, they've been saying, well, you know, we could pay the interest on the debt and not pay some of these other programs. So I'm glad to see they figured that out. But the news today was the Senate is coming up with a solution to the debt crisis, and they're going to vote on it. And so borrowing more money is not a solution to the debt crisis. That is throwing gasoline on a fire. That is giving heroin to an addict. That's not a solution. And then we have the news about the Sandy Hook Elementary School, which is just so typical of the age we live in. Bakersfield, California middle school student repeatedly bullied. North Idaho school punishes boys, only the boys, for a prank, not the girls. An autistic kid gets suspended from school, an autistic kid, for one of his drawings. School budget cuts in Philadelphia, they say they caused the girl's death. Hey, just close them down, all right?